Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Just thinking how rich this season is. There are many sections of the year that are very, very rich, but this is one of the most rich. You have preparation for Pentecost. You have the feast that we celebrated yesterday, the Feast of the Visitation. We just have so many signs of the evidence of God's love for us, that we would reject him, scorn him, turn away from God. And God, in the midst of our grief and our sorrow and our mistakes and bearing the fruit of our sin, he sent us a Messiah to save us. He loved us so much. And the Blessed Mother played such a pivotal role in bringing him in human form into our world. Brothers and sisters, there's just gift after gift after gift here. Gifts way beyond anything anybody could ever give us. God has given us infinite, I do mean that, infinite treasures for all eternity. Don't scorn them. Don't treat them lightly. Don't disdain them. Open your heart to receive all the grace. Grace is God sharing himself with us. Open your heart to receive the graces that he wants to give you to draw you into closer union with him. The first reading for today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 30, and then chapter 23, verses 6 to 11. Wishing to determine the truth about why Paul was being accused by the Jews, the commander freed him. Paul was taken into custody, but he's freed. The commander freed him and ordered the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin to convene. And then he brought Paul down and made him stand before them. Now, I love this about Paul. He was certainly wily here. Here he is before all of his accusers. He could have been stoned to death. He knows persecution awaits him. So here he is. And yet, he's clever. Look at what Paul did. Paul was aware that some were Sadducees and some Pharisees. So he called out before the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Both of them had come to accuse him. Now, Paul just says he has hope in the resurrection of the dead, and that causes a problem. And look what it is. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the group became divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection or angels are spirits, while the Pharisees acknowledge all three. A great uproar, it really swelled, a great uproar occurred, and some scribes belonging to the Pharisee party stood up and sharply argued, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." This dispute was so serious that the commander, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces, I mean, this was violent, that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, ordered his troops to go down and rescue Paul from their midst and take him into the compound. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for just as you have borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." So Paul, in a certain sense, heightening the division between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, ended up causing them to fight with one another, and Paul was rescued and was not, in a certain sense, put on trial. But an angel comes, and then the Lord stood by him. The Lord himself stood by him and said, "Take courage. For just as you have borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." Paul knows what's before him. Does Paul run? Does Paul say, hey, I got saved here. I'm going to get my way out of this, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to hide in my little tent, and I'm not going to talk to anybody, and I'm not going to say anything about Jesus again. Lots of people do that today, you know. Keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. Where do you put your trust? Where do you put your hope? For in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you. O Lord, my allotted portion of my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I see the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence. Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. Brothers and sisters, God's going to protect us. Yes, we may go through hard times, but he will protect us for all eternity if you put your trust in him. It doesn't mean we won't endure hardship and persecution, but he will be with us and we will have eternal life. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the prize that awaits us. Psalmist says, you will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. You will show me the path to life. Do you ask God that every day? Show me the path to life today, real life, eternal life. Show me the path that I need to walk today in my circumstances. In my earthly circumstances, how do I draw closer to you? How do I follow you? Teach me. Read the scripture daily, brothers and sisters. God will enlighten you, show you in your own circumstances how to live more and more as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't settle for anything less. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. We have believed in the Son of God through the word that has been taught to us by the disciples of Christ. You are being prayed for here. I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. God desires union with us, yes, for all eternity, but he wants also right here in this life to draw us into union with him, with the source of all love. It's the safest, most joyful place to be, even with persecution going on around you. And Jesus, at that point in his life, was praying for you and me here in the 21st century. He's praying for all of us. You are being prayed for. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you love me. The Father loves us just as he loves Jesus. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. And he's speaking of his disciples, and we know that too, don't we? We know that he has come among us and pointed out the way to us and suffered and died for us and taught us that we might understand him and follow him. It's the primary call on everybody's life, to live as a son or daughter of God. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you. And they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. What a powerful prayer. Read that prayer over today. Read it over out loud to yourself. Read it. Look how Jesus is praying for you and for me. That prayer is real. That prayer has no constraints in time. Jesus forever lives to make intercession for us. Scriptures tell us that. God is praying for you. St. Catherine of Siena wrote this about love, and I think it's very, very important for us to hear this. So in the last couple of minutes here, let me share this. I want us to reflect, she says, that unless our motivation is stripped clean of all selfish love, of self-complacency and desire to please the world, it can never attain to this true and perfect love, this bond of charity that Jesus offers us. For the one love is opposed to the other, so opposed that selfish love separates you from God and from your neighbors, while perfect love unites you to both. The one love is death-dealing, while the other gives life. The one brings darkness, that's selfish love. The other light, the one war, the other peace. Selfish love shrinks your heart till it has room neither for yourself nor for your neighbors, while divine charity so expands your heart that it can welcome friends and enemies alike, everyone, in fact, because it is clothed in Christ's love and so follows him. Your love can't do it. But giving your life over to Christ, living according to his word, following him, you will share in his love, even for your enemies. Selfish love is wretched. It parts ways with justice. It perpetuates injustice. It is characterized by a slavish fear that keeps it from acting justly as it should, whether because of flattery or dread of losing prestige. This is the perverse civility and fear that led Pilate to kill Christ. Such people do no justice, but only injustice. They live neither justly nor virtuously, nor are they motivated by divine love. No, they live unjustly, viciously, in dark, selfish love. And all of us have that strain running through us. Me, me, me. And she says, I want you to be completely freed from such selfish love and grounded in true and perfect charity, loving God for God's sake because he is worthy of love, since he is the supreme eternal goodness. And love yourself for God's sake and your neighbors for God's sake and not for your own selfish advantage. I want you to be bound with the bond of true and blazing charity. This is what my soul longs to see in you. Brothers and sisters, let us long to see it in our own lives, and let us in our lives be disciples of that love for many, many, many more. God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change, and I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.